You may be seated. And children, time for children's church.
I am cranked this morning. I am cranked.
Why are you cranked, Pastor?
Well, yesterday was a great day. I had the opportunity to go up to Woodcrest Retreat, and they have a 3D archery shoot, and somebody explained that sometime what it is. But anyways, I had the opportunity to do the message, and it was fun. I enjoyed it. There were 100 guys there, over 100 guys, some ladies sprinkled in there, and it was fun. And I am cranked this morning. I'm not sure why, but I'm glad to be here. Anybody else? I'm glad to be here. Say it with me. Ready? I'm glad to be here. I'd rather be here than at a funeral. Okay? No. Well, anyways, here we are. That's the second page. I brought my sports page in case the pastor gets boring this morning. I thought I'd read it. Redland plays for the title. First thing I do is I go to the sports page. I read the first part. It doesn't take me long. 3 minutes, and I'm done with the first page. And then I go to the sports page. And it's interesting. And I copied this picture on Friday before the game, and I thought, boy, I hope they win, because if they don't, then I'm going to have to change my picture. But it's interesting. If you read the sports page this morning in Sunday paper, I don't know if you do the Sunday paper, but if you read it, you will find out that there are teams. There are teams. But usually the team does not appear together like this shot right here. There's usually a one person. He hit the single that drove in the winning run. Hallelujah, wonderful. Or he's the leader of the team. He's the quarterback. They've got the Penn State quarterback, whatever his name is, Hackenberg, I know. But he's on the front page. Usually there are a few standouts. But I assure you that every team that goes to the Little League World Series says something of this nature. Now, every team has standouts. You understand that?
I'm not into sports.
Well, just pretend that you are. Every team has standouts. But I assure you, almost every one of them says something like this: we must do this together. Now, the coach knows that he has standouts. He knows that he has a couple guys that he is depending on. But you know what? Somebody's got to cover right field. Somebody's got to cover this. Somebody's got to do this. Somebody has to pinch hit. Somebody has to do this. You cannot do it alone. We get this. Can I use the word dumb? You okay? Murray said so. We have this dumb idea that we can live our Christian lives together and or alone and please God. You know what? That is a D-U-M-M dumb idea. And I know how to spell it, okay? I told you I'm cranked this morning. I'm excited for some reason. I'm not sure why, okay? Part of it's yesterday. But we must do this thing together. They did it together. Yeah, standouts. But we do it together. And folks, if we are going to please God, we've got to do it together. There is no room for Lone Ranger Christians. Now, I appreciated Marty singing this morning. We hit that after a while. Now, let's go ahead and read the scripture this morning. He's about ready to close it. We're on chapter 13. We have one more message next weekend, but this is it. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, where'd that come from? I mean, verse 8 just sounds like, oh, I think I'll just put this in there. This is sort of a nice thing to say. It's true, right, I understand that. But there is a logical reason there, and you'll see it as we move on. What does he say next? Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines. Doctrine just means teachings. Don't be carried away with those. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods, which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We could put preoccupied there just as well. We have an altar. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right. They have no authority to eat. So what he's saying is, we in the New Testament, we have something different than they had in the Old Testament, and they have no business eating from this altar because they've not made a decision for Messiah. That's basically long and short of it. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Now, the only time that I can think of right here is the Day of Atonement. When the high priest, he brings in, he takes the blood of an animal, he takes it into the Holy of Holies. He's the only one there, and then they take the dead body outside of the camp. Not the priest's dead body, but the animal's dead body. You understand? And so, therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify, that he might set apart the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, verse 13, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You see the idea? The author of Hebrews is talking about, hey, we're in this thing together. We will do this if we stick together. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But there's more to praising God than just what comes out of my mouth. Well, what else is there? But do not forget, we get so busy praising, and it is good to praise, it's good to be thankful, it's good for all those things. It's good to sing the hymns, that's good. But if that's all the further you go, you've stopped short, you've got a problem. Do not forget to do good and share. And that doesn't mean just finances, that means time and energy and resources. Do not forget to do good and share. For with such, next word, sacrifices, guess what? God is well pleased. Can I say it makes God happy? I think I understand that. God is pleased with these things. Now, verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, groaning, for that would not be profitable for you. Let's go ahead and look at it this morning. We must keep in mind those who came before us. First word up there is what? Remember. Keep in mind those who came before us. How many people have, they know Christians who came before you? That's a no-brainer. Everybody. Now watch this. You don't see it in the English, okay? But in the original, reflect on your former leaders, those who initially taught you the truth of God's word. These are now off the scene. And the author of Hebrews is saying, remember the people that got you started. In fact, remember, call to mind those who led you in the beginning and introduced you to the Messiah. So what he's saying is, look back in your history. You started somewhere. The author of Hebrews did not start this Bible study. He did not start this church group. Somebody else did. But what he says is this, remember those who got you started spiritually. And folks, if we had unlimited time, I would come down and I would ask you and you and you and you, who got you started? Who got you started? Who first shared with you the Word of God? Who told you about Jesus first? How many could remember somebody? I'm not going to ask you, but how many could remember today somebody who got you started? Go ahead. I want to see your hand. Yeah. The rest of you never got started. What's the matter? Okay. Yeah. We can all remember people who shared Christ with us. And that's what he's saying. Remember, call to mind those who led you in the beginning and introduced you to the Messiah. Then consider, now in the original, it's in a different order than in the New King James, okay? And you understand, that's okay, that's not a problem. Consider the outcome of their way of life, the impact their faith had on their lifestyles. Do not be naive. Now folks, some Christians are naive. They they lose the battle. Don't be naive. Everyone has a belief system by which they make decisions and behave or misbehave. Everybody, I'm an atheist. Well, that's fine. That's your choice. You want to be an atheist, agnostic? That's fine. You have a belief system. Oh, no, I'm an atheist. I don't have any religion. Don't give me that stuff. And don't allow people to stuff that down your throat. Don't allow that to shut you up. That person has a belief system. And you need to be bold enough to say, well, what do you believe? I don't have a, yes, you do. You have a belief system. Tell me about your belief system. Tell me that how that affects your life. Tell me how your belief system not only affects your life, but affects the lives of those around you. Folks, don't get schnookered. People have belief, and I would challenge you this morning. Ask people questions about their belief system. Everybody's got one. And guess what? Think through this. What we believe will impact the outcome of our lives for better or for worse. True or false? Well, Pastor, you said it. It must be true. I appreciate that. Yeah. The what you believe, if you believe this will make you happy, you do this. If you believe you can get away with this, guess what? You do. How many used to be six? How many used to be six? Okay? Now, this is the. See, some of you don't. How many would not raise their hand? It doesn't matter what I would say. Folks, when you were six, you did stuff because you knew you could get away with it. Now, some of us were worse than the rest. I understand that. But folks, this is the way it is. Think through this. What he's saying is remember, consider, and then he's going to say follow. Consider the outcome. Imitate the exemplary faith of these men, or some of them might have been led to Christ by a woman. How many were led to Christ by a woman? Not me, but I was led to Christ by a preacher, okay? So men and women, some of the greatest missionaries who ever lived were women. That's an amazing, because a woman can go into a culture where men are prevalent. They can go in there. They are not intimidating. And so they can go in and they can teach men the word of God. If a man went in, he's dead meat. He's intimidating. And so we need to understand that. So these are the people you're supposed to imitate. So what do you do? Remember, consider, and then follow. To follow their faith is to believe what they believed and to allow it to transform my life. I want to say mine. I need to allow what they believed. I need to know what it is, and then I need to allow that to change my life. Folks, before I got saved, I shared a little bit yesterday. Before I got saved, I was a biblical moron. Well, better yet, ignoramus. Okay? I was ignorant. You know what I did? I got saved. I went to Sunday school. I went to Sunday morning. I went to Sunday evening. I even went to prayer meeting. Right out of the chute. I thought that was normal. Well, it should be normal. It should be normal. And folks, you know what? Because I did not know how to live the Christian life. I wanted to know. I had a lot of gaps in my life. I had a few gaps up here too. I wanted to know. So I watched other people. This threefold exhortation is all the more powerful because it recalls the listener's own experience. And what the author of Hebrews is saying, remember the people who led you to Christ. Remember those who taught you. Consider their ways. Consider how that changed their lives. And then, and folks, again, I don't want to go back to ancient history, but when I got saved, I watched the life of one man, how he treated his wife, how he treated his children. Because I didn't know how to treat my wife. I didn't know how to treat my children. And I wanted to learn. I watched how he treated his wife and children, and I imitated him. Folks, I didn't have any other choice. I didn't want to be some bozo husband or bozo dad. I wanted to do right. And I felt, you know, I looked at the outcome of his life. And I said, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. And if you have not found anyone yet, you need to find someone that you are able to say, that's what I want to be like when I grow up. Now, if you're 80, you've already probably grown up, but you can be a good example, okay? And I'm not going to say any more on that one. Okay, reflect on the immutable and unchangeable nature and ministry of Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews has taught them well. He's already gone through who Christ is. Wow, that was good stuff, Mike. I like that. I tell you, I like that pounding narrative. That's just super stuff, okay? I'm not going to ask you if you liked it, but I liked it. It was great. The author of Hebrews had taught them about Jesus Christ. Verse 8 is not an isolated remark, but forms an important bridge between 7 and 9. 7 says, remember those who taught you. And then he's going to go on in verse number 9, and we'll look at that when we get there. He, Jesus Christ, was the primary subject of what was originally taught. They didn't teach church, quote, doctrine. They didn't teach denominationalism. Not that those things are unimportant, but they taught them about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the focus of all of Scripture. If you miss him, you're dead meat. You don't have a prayer. You don't have any hope if you miss Jesus Christ. And that's what they were parking on. That's why he says this. He is the eternal Son who became incarnate, lived an obedient human life, offered himself in obedience to God, and has now taken his seat at God's right hand. Thus, Jesus Christ has full authority to cleanse his people from sin and bring them into God's presence. Leaders come and go, but Jesus Christ remains. When your Christology is biblically grounded, so is your life and hope. Folks, and I would challenge you, if you're not doing any Bible reading, shame on you. If you want a challenge, get into the Gospel of John. Read it. September, I don't know how many days September. Make September the month I will read through one of the Gospels. And I would encourage you, yeah, I'm saved. Well, that's good. That's good. That's wonderful. It's wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ? Is he just an acquaintance, or is he your best friend? I come to the garden alone. when the dew is still on the roses, the voice I hear falling on my ear, the who? The Son of God. Folks, there ought to be hymns that just ring out in your heart. That's one that I sing to the grandkids, okay? I'm not going to sing it this morning. But folks, there ought to be. Jesus is the focal point of the Word of God. Jesus is the focal point of my life, and He needs to be the focal point of your life. You get messed up on your Christology, and folks, and there are a lot of folks who are messed up. Refrain from getting swept away by any alien teachings. This is not aliens, you know, people from Mars. Aliens, strange, weird. Anything that deviates from the truth of God's Word, especially concerning Christ, must be rejected. Folks, and I don't want to be mean. I'm going to name a couple groups that are way off on their Christology. They are way off because they would never play the tape or the CD or whatever it was that we listened to this morning. They would never agree with that. The Muslims, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses. So many cults are off on their Christology. Now, I'm not saying anything mean. They would have to agree with that. They do not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They do not. Some of them do not believe that He was crucified and that He died. Some of them don't believe this. They don't believe that. Folks, that's just the way it is. Don't get duped into thinking that just because people say they're Christians, they know what they're talking about. I'm a bird. Is he crazy? Yeah, I would be. Folks, some people call themselves Christians, and they have no clue. And I don't want to be mean or nasty, and I trust I'm not coming across that way. But some of us are so duped that we think that everybody says that they're a bird is a bird. That's not true, and you know that. Well, the image, let me just go ahead and see if I can bring that back again. The image is of that of a person who is inadequately grounded and is liable to be swept away by the currents of false teaching. Think Katrina. Do I need to draw you a picture? How many of you ever said, do I need to draw you a picture? You know, you're dense. Think Katrina. People hanging from poles and trees and housetops just swept away. And that's the picture that he draws. And he says, don't you allow yourself to be swept away by any strange doctrine. And there are people who will knock on your door and try to lead you. Oh, yeah, we believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. Not the Jesus of the Bible. There are a multitude of strange teachings about the person and ministry of Jesus Christ. Error here spells eternal damnation. And folks, and again, I don't agree with you. Hey, that's fine. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. You know, that's fine. But remember, belief determines destination. You can disagree with me and I will not hate you. I will not be obnoxious. What I will say is, I think you need to really think about what you're thinking. I think you need to anyways, you can sort it out. The heart is strengthened by grace, not a list of dietary or behavioral regulations that can never transform the heart. Rituals, no matter how elaborate, no matter how impressive, no matter how self-gratifying, can never transform the heart. You know, there are some rituals in some church. Oh, I just love the incense. I just love the candles. I just love the singing. I just love that. You know, we have ritual here. I mean, that's right. But rituals can never by themselves transform my heart. Now, if my heart is in the ritual, if I'm into the singing of the hymns, and I don't get into incense, okay? You know, some people, we like incense in our church. Good. That's because nobody in their church takes a bath in the morning. They have to have the incense to cover it up. I'm just kidding, okay? I appreciate you people. You put up with me because I enjoy being here, and hopefully you do too. You wouldn't be here. Well, I come because I have to. We must be aware of resources and responsibilities. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ which sets us apart to Him. The altar is the place of sacrifice, the cross. We have an altar. Those in the Old Testament, they have no right. If they're still living back there, they have no authority. We have a place of sacrifice to which we look for hope and salvation, which is radically different from the Old Testament. The Old Testament folks were to look forward to the Messiah. He came. And now they're still looking forward to the Messiah. Woo! He came. He died for your sins. That's the Messiah that was prophesied in Isaiah 53, in Psalm number 22. He came. He died. He rose again. No, we don't believe that. We're going to stick with our Old Testament apparatus and our practices. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You have no authority to eat from the same place, so to speak. We have a sacrifice far superior to any Old Testament sacrifice, which was dragged and disposed of outside the city gate. Now, the city gate, when he talks about that, he may be talking about official Judaism. Okay? And that's a good possibility. Probably a probability. His sacrifice is the source of both the saving and sustaining grace by which our hearts are strengthened. When we look to the sacrifice of Christ, I am emboldened to live out my faith in Christ because I know He died for me. I know I'm clean before God. We have a Savior who willingly dragged Himself outside the gate to sacrifice Himself to completely redeem us, completely, thoroughly. I am redeemed. I am fully redeemed. There is nothing I need to do. I am saved by grace. I am kept by grace. If I die this morning, I'd go to be with the Lord. Based on my merit? No. Based on the merit of Jesus Christ and what He did. No merit of my own. And there is nothing I can do to take care of my sin problem. We have the privilege and responsibility to identify with Jesus Christ regardless of the consequences. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp. Notice it doesn't say let us go forth to church or denomination. It says let us go forth to Him. You know, it's great to come to church. It's even better to come to Christ. He bore the humiliation and rejection of the prevailing religious establishment. To identify with Him is to incur the same. By identifying with Him, we declare that our hope is in the fulfillment of His promise for a permanent residence. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp. Here, hey, we have no continuing city. Folks, all of this will pass away someday, probably maybe sooner than we imagine. I have no continuing city here. I look for a place beyond the sunset. We have hymns that talk about heaven. The problem is so many people don't want to get there. What do you mean? You know what? We scramble. We do everything we can to avoid death. We talk about heaven and how wonderful. You know, let me ask you a question. Maybe I asked you this before. If you were in a concentration camp and somebody opened the door and says, hey, you're free, what would you do? Boy, I don't know. That's a tough one. Is it that difficult? I mean, is it that difficult? Now, I'm not going to barge through the wire. I'm not going to do that. But you know, if the gate is open, I'm heading through. And I hope that when I come to my last day, when the doctor said, you want to do this? I'll say, nope, give me my recliner. I'm going to kick back. I'm going to wait for the Lord to take me home because I know it's my time. Folks, I don't know about you, but this place is like a constant. I have joys. I enjoy the people of God. I enjoy hunting season. I enjoy all of those things. But you know what? When God calls my name, I'm out. I'm out of here. Anybody else? Now see, the younger people, they're not sure they want to do that. Oh, I'd like to get married someday. I'd like to drive someday. You're already driving. You're driving your parents crazy. No, there's a lot of things. But you know what? You know the thing that really holds me back? Is I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. Everything else is nice. True or false? I think it's true. I have a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. And I'm checking out someday and I'm going there. Here, I don't have anything that's really permanent. Everything I have, I could lose someday, except Jesus. We have the unique privilege and responsibility of continually offering sacrifices to Him. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Well, what does that mean? We bring the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving for who He is and what He's done for us, springing from a heart that overflows with gratitude. That's why I love to lead the singing, because I love to sing loud, and I want you to sing. That's why I love to hear you singing. That is a sacrifice of praise, and we sing to Him. When you start your devotions in the morning, I don't know about you, but I start, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that I could brush my own teeth. Thank you that I could comb my own hair. I thank God for those things. You know why? Because there's going to come a time when I don't have those things anymore. I thank God for the relationships that I have with people. See, those are the things that please God, at least according to the Scripture, that's what it says. Animal sacrifices have been rendered obsolete forever by the sacrifice of Christ. Now the sacrifice of thanksgiving may be offered by all who have appropriated the perfect sacrifice of Christ for themselves and without the addition of animal sacrifices. Let me ask you a question. Have you appropriated appropriated the perfect sacrifice of Christ for yourself? Has there been a time in your life that you have bowed your head and said, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for my sins according to the Scripture. I believe that you rose again. Lord Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior. Folks, if you haven't made that decision, I don't know where you're at. But you know what I'd do? I'd make it right now. All I have to do is say, Lord, in my head, in my heart, I don't even have to say anything. Lord, today is the day. I want you to know that I love you, Lord, that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. Lord, come into my life and be my Savior. We bring the sacrifices of good deeds and mutual sharing because we have been redeemed. We treat others with thoughtful mutual concern. Acts of kindness are concrete expressions of concern for others. We have the wonderful assurance that our God is pleased with us and our offering. Remember Abel, now why did I put it? Remember, if you read Genesis 3, I think it's 3, God was pleased with Abel and his offering. And see, it starts in here. Abel offered a sacrifice way back in Genesis that pleased God because it came from a heart that was grateful. Cain, not. He didn't. So when I sing to God, when I worship, when I serve, you know what? I do that for God's glory. I do it because I love Him. Most of us know what that means. I do things because I love people. You know what? Sometimes I love myself and I do things. Anybody like that in here? Anybody else? Okay. No, there's one honest guy in here. Yeah, but you know what? We are motivated because we love. And we do things because we love other people. The sacrifices of the old covenant were offered perpetually because they were never effective in removing sin. The sacrifices of praise and right living described in these verses are to be offered perpetually because Christ's obedient self-offering has effectively done away with sin. I serve, I sing, I praise, I thank because of what Christ has done for me, not to get Him to let me into heaven. There's a big, major difference. We must follow those who presently lead us. Verse number 17. Respond appropriately to those who presently lead you. Who would that be? In our church, I'm looking at elders. Now, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say elders, deacons, shepherds, or anything like that. But those who lead you. So you can apply this. And this is a tough verse. Because people, right away, obey those who rule over you. If I have to use that verse to get people to obey, it's like me telling my wife, God says you ought to obey me. What's the problem there? It starts with an A. Go ahead. And don't say anything bad, okay? What's the problem there? It starts with an A and then a TT. Attitude. And so what the author of Hebrews, one verse at the end, he says, you know what? If you're going to get this thing done, you're going to have to work together. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. And that's what he's telling his people to do. And so respond appropriately to those who presently lead you. We, the sheep. Now, I put myself in this category. We, and I'm not going to ask you to go bah, okay? But you're a sheep. How many are sheep here this morning? You're a sheep, okay? You're a sheep. I'm also a sheep, okay? So let's look at it. We, the sheep. Oh, never mind. We, the sheep, are responsible for doing what our leaders ask us to do and for doing so with an attitude of submission. Now, let me just be a little more pointed. That's your responsibility. We have 6 elders, and I love these men. I tell you what, I wish every pastor in Lancaster had elders like I have. I wish every pastor in the United States had elders like I have. I love my elders. I appreciate them. You know what? They're intelligent men. Not overly intelligent, but they're intelligent. You know what? They are spiritual men. They love the Lord. We love each other. We can talk together. We can work together. We can even talk about things that we don't agree on, and we're fine. Wonderful. And so we, the sheep, are responsible for doing what our leaders ask us to do and for doing so with the attitude of submission. The author is concerned that the listeners put their confidence in them and submit to their authority. And again, this is not Jim Jones. This is not David Koresh. This is not the pastor in the South who wanted his people to give him $10 million so he could buy a new jet. That's not the kind of, we're not talking about slavish, do what I say. We're not talking about dictator. That's, I love the pastor as a shepherd motif. I love that. That is my favorite motif for the pastor, shepherd. What else do we find out? Well, if I can get this thing, they, the shepherds, are responsible. That would be the elders, and I'm an elder. That would be the elders. They, the shepherds, are responsible for diligently watching over us, the sheep, to feed, to lead, to care for, and to protect us, realizing they are accountable to Christ, the chief shepherd. One of the biggest disappointments for me is that I don't have enough time to visit your houses. And I feel bad about that. Now, I don't beat myself up. I was in the hospital yesterday morning and visited a dear lady who's looks like she's getting ready to finish the lane. Larace, dear lady, I hope she lasts longer. But folks, I love my people. It would make it, oh, no, that's what he says up here. That's what he says up here. Someday the elders will stand before the Lord and we will answer for the sheep. And God will ask the elders individually, how did you take care of my sheep? Did you love my sheep? Did you beat my sheep? Did you fleece my sheep? Did you run them till they were dead? Did you water them? Did you love them? Did you care for them? Folks, that is an awesome privilege, responsibility. Every elder will answer for the sheep. Did I read that right? For they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. I have no option. I am stuck. Someday I will answer for you and the way I treated you, okay? And I hope I get a thumbs up by Jesus, okay? Frank, you did a good job. Okay, not perfect, but that's all I want. Good, okay? Now, recognize the potential impact of your response. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. Your response will be a cause for rejoicing or for groaning. That word groaning appears in the Septuagint, and I won't go and explain that, but you ever read the psalmist when he's groaning? Sometimes my wife says, what's wrong? What do you mean? You're sighing. I mean, any wives, you know your husband's, something's wrong when they're sighing. You're sighing. And sometimes I catch myself sighing, oh, I'm tired, I'm worn out. Something is burdening me. Maybe physical tiredness, but a lot of times it's not physical tiredness, it's spiritual tiredness. And if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a grandparent, sometimes you know what I'm talking about. You know what? What he's saying here is your response will be cause for rejoicing or for groaning, for deep sighing. Is he talking about now or then? Answer, yes. There were elders at this time they loved their people and they tried to lead their people, but their people just did not follow. You know why people don't follow? Because they don't trust the leadership. That is a problem. The leadership should never do anything that creates mistrust. And if there is any mistrust that you have as a leader, you know what? You need to talk to your leader. You may ask, could you explain this? And you know what? Sometimes there's not a good answer. We did this because we felt this. How many of your parents are here this morning? How many times have you ever made a decision that you believe with all your heart was good for your kids and they didn't agree? Raise your hands. Yeah. Hey, folks, you're stuck. You're a parent. That's your job. It is your job to make decisions, dads especially, it is your job to make decisions for your family because you love them, you care for them, you're looking out for their best. They may not agree with it, but you know what? You can still love them and you say, honey, I know you will not agree with this, but this is what I believe we need to do. Folks, you got to do that. Pull up your pants, put on your suspenders, whatever you got to do, but you got to do that. And you know what? Leaders are stuck with the same responsibility. We get stuck doing that sometimes. We are assured that a negative response will not be in our best interest. It benefits no one. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. I am so thankful that God has given us a church where I don't have to, I don't think I've ever said, now you need to obey me. I don't think I've ever said that to my people. And I will never say that. I will say that I care about you. I will say that I will be the best pastor I can be. The elders will say that too. We will do the best job. But you know what? Filled in the blank. We are not perfect. We are not perfect. And guess what? Neither are you. We're in this thing together. If we're going to please the Father, we're going to have to do it, what? Together. I love this passage of Scripture. It's from the English Standard Version. Let me go ahead and read it. Now follow along. Okay, don't close your brains. Okay, you ever got your brain over? Okay, let's finish. And He, Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to do what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. For what else? For building up the body of Christ. For how long? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith teachings and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Have we arrived there yet? Answer? No, we're not there yet. Ah, so that. Whenever I see a so that or a that, I look and check it out. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Boy, that sounds familiar. We just looked at that. By human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's us. That's us. Folks, I feel sad for people who have disabilities. And I've known people who had arms like this, or his feet didn't work, or something like that. I feel sad because the whole body doesn't function like that. And it's incapacitating. That's a big word. How many understand what I just said? Yeah, you can't do what you want to do. You know what? There are churches like that. They can't do what they'd really like to do because some of the joints are out of joint. And some of the things are not working properly. Our goal is to do this thing together. I appreciate the Awana ministry. I appreciate our youth ministry. I appreciate the Sunday school teachers. I appreciate the helping hands. Boy, we had a great meal the other day. It was great. I won't embarrass anybody, but it was like, man, that was delicious. Well, we were infirmed, and so somebody brought a meal. Helping hands. There are some people that you never see, but they're actively involved in ministry. Folks, if we're going to please the Father, we're going to have to do it together. We're going to have to do it together. That means the elders have got to lead, and the followers have got to follow, and we do this thing together. Where are you going to be at 3 o'clock this afternoon? Don't know, Pastor. What's he talking about? Oh, good grief. It's on ABC. You can watch it. Let me pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the Word of God. Father, I thank you for the privilege of working together to please you. Father, we offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. That's easy to do. I trust it's with gratitude, Lord, thankfulness. Lord, we also want to offer the sacrifice of good works, not to gain salvation, but because we're saved, we want to work, we want to serve you. And we want to share our assets, our time, our energy, our resources, not to gain salvation, but because we love you, God. And we know that you love us. And Lord, the only reason we love you is because you loved us first. And we thank you, God, for that this morning. Father, help us to live like a flock of sheep and shepherds that know you, love you, appreciate you. Again, God, do the work that you need to do in each of our hearts this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.